Hello. Oh, fine.
Do you remember how this conversation, how this
no,
podcast
I
starts?
Don't. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It goes, hi, my name's Tash and I'm an alcoholic.
And my name's Caitlin and I am not an alcoholic. And this is an exploratory podcast about alcoholism, addiction and mental health within the arts and all of the things that make us question.
Why am I like this? Hello.
It was like we haven't done this in a while.
Honestly, I feel like I haven't seen you in ages.
Look, it's been a hot minute.
I've had a wild time the last couple of weeks. What about you?
It's been a bit up and down. I went to Manham for 4 days.
Yeah, I saw that. Cute.
Yeah.
Just a little relax, recoup, revive.
Pretty much.
Nice.
Yeah.
So Manham's like a little river town.
By the river. It's like an hour and a half out of Adelaide.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Did you go alone?
No, I went with a friend of mine. He was like, I'm going to Manham for a few days. I'm like, that sounds really nice. He's like, you can come with me. And I'm just like, yeah, maybe I'll see what I can do. And I just kind of like
committed.
Reorganized everything so I could
so that
go.
You could go, yeah.
And have like a break.
Yeah, nice.
I finished 2 books, Tash.
That's such a good feeling.
Oh, it was amazing. Oh, and then I came back and was like, oh, here's the life. Hi, life. We're back.
Hello, real world.
Cool. And then I made a film in 48 hours.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Do you want to, I think that's a pretty unique concept, the 48-hour film challenge.
Yes.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
So the 48-hour film challenge is a worldwide event where there's like weekends all across the year and across the world where both professional and amateur and just people who want to make films, make a film in 48 hours. So that includes like scripting it, filming it and editing it and then handing it up. This is the 3rd year me and my team have done it. And it's, I think, our biggest year yet.
Exciting.
We had 16 people. We were quite organized. Granted, we had like 2 minutes to spare
in the upload,
the handing up of it, because you have to physically deliver it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I kind of love that.
Oh, my gosh. It's so stressful. Like, the first year we submitted it 2 minutes late. Oh, it was horrible. I can't believe we did it again. Like, I don't know how after that we're just like, nah, we have to do it at least once. And I think we had, like, 15 minutes to spare, which was nice and comfy. That was actually a really good year. And then this year we had 2 minutes to spare. So it's a nice lap weekend.
Yeah.
So we made a film in 48 hours.
That's very exciting.
Yeah. What about you? What have you been up to these last 2 weeks?
Well, my kind of personal career, I guess, as like an artist has really just sort of been taking off the last couple of months, which is really nice. I feel like everything that I've worked the last decade on is all sort of coming to a peak now.
Okay.
Which is really nice. I think it really helps as well. I had some really incredible people on Instagram who I really admire. Rose from Glitter is a Neutral, who makes these incredible tinsel jackets and pom-pom headbands, burrito head wraps, like very much my aesthetic, very cool. Everything that I sort of love. And what I really love about Rose is she's really big on community over competition, which is obviously something that's so important to me as well. And she, you know, because there are some other makers in this community who do similar things, use similar products, and maybe have a bigger following, and therefore they feel like they have the right to tell other people who can and can't use certain materials.
Yeah.
Which is really gross and not at all what the arts industry is about. But Rose was really, really lovely and actually shared, I, you know, didn't ask her to or anything, but she shared an image of something I'd made.
Cool.
And, you know, she's got something like 48,000 more followers than me.
Yeah.
And I had like, I think I've gotten about, you know, 100 or 200 extra followers from that post, and I've had 3 sales on my website from it and a lot more interest in my like arts kind of side of things.
Yeah.
Which is so nice. And, you know, like it cost her nothing. She's just sort of doing something really nice. And yeah, that has really revived my sort of sense of camaraderie within the community, which has been really lovely.
I think that proves that if you don't have the money to be spending on artists you admire, share their shit.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't preach that enough. And, like, that's why if you're scrolling Instagram and you see your friend's hot selfie, you're going to like it because you want to reaffirm that, yes, yes, bitch, you are hot. And you want to like, you know, make your friend feel good. But it's like, why don't we do that for our friends who are running small businesses?
Yeah.
You know, okay, maybe you're not interested in like a lash lift, but your like on your friend's beauty page helps gain traction, helps gain momentum. Like maybe you don't like lashes, but maybe some of your followers might. And by you liking that post, it sets like the algorithms are all a mess. And anyone in small business will tell you like it's very, very difficult and very, very expensive to advertise and market. And really the best marketing is you guys.
Word of mouth.
Yeah, word of mouth. And I think that's what's happening with our podcast a lot as well.
Yeah.
We're sort of getting a lot of word of mouth listens and follows, which is great. So, hi, guys. Yeah. Welcome, new listeners.
Tell your friends.
Yeah, because that's how these things get done. And obviously, like, I would love to thank our Patreons for the month.
Yeah.
Except there aren't any. So, we've got the lovely Remy Gordon still.
Love her.
Yes. But we do need more Patreons, especially if you would like us to start releasing more bonus content. I don't know about you, Caitlin, but I get complaints that our podcast is not regular enough.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You start paying me and then it will be regular.
And that's what I said. I was like, you can be a Patreon and we'll consider it.
Yeah. I say that with a lot of love.
Oh, truly.
But like, both Tash and I do so many other things.
The busiest people. The busiest.
So does Ryan. Ryan's busy too.
Oh, mate. Ryan, yeah, anyway, I'm not even going to go into it, but Ryan, I know, produces for a lot of other bands and things as well, so he's constantly at other people's beck and call, including us. Sorry, Ryan. I'm not really allowed to talk about it, but Tash. I am going to talk about it.
Tash.
So I had a reality TV show filming in my studio. I'm allowed to say that. It was fun.
All right.
I just can't say anything else. Yeah. But it was the best, and we have to wait until February until I can, like, announce everything.
Okay. So you have to keep listening until February.
Yeah, that's right. It's a trap.
Yeah. And if you follow us on Patreon, then you might know about it a little bit before.
Oh, I'll be posting spoilers in the Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
but, yeah, so that was really fun and a bit of a thrill during the last week.
Yeah.
But yeah. Just being flat out busy.
Whoa. Yeah. You have had a like really nice segue planned and then we kept talking.
Classic.
So I'm just going to like pretend the segue happened
and
talk about marketing.
Oh my God, great segue.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Thank you. marketing is really interesting and I don't say this, I mean, I do say this as someone who works in marketing, but it's interesting the way that things are marketed and who they're marketed towards.
Totally.
I know both of us, like, outside of this podcast and just in general, I've been thinking about how alcohol is marketed.
Yeah. I posted on the Why Am I Like This Instagram story a couple of weeks ago, a little sign I saw in the mall. It was actually out the front of our supermarket, but they have a bottle shop within it.
Mm.
And it said, because no good story started with a salad.
Ugh.
Which, you know, I get it's an old cliche, that one, but I kind of saw it and I was like, really? Like, it's the mall. Like, this is where there's a lot of school kids around. Like, is that the message that we want to be sending? Like,
yes.
To have a story or to have fun, you need to have a drink.
Yeah. Stop giving salads bad reps.
Salads are great.
Salads are great. But, yeah, it's a proven thing. Like, it proves the point that the way that we market alcohol is something that should be questioned, because who is seeing it? Who is, for lack of a better word, consuming it?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the things that are being marketed and how is it being marketed and how does that affect, like, heavy alcohol drinkers who are majority of the, like, alcohol market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if this is a fact, but it's certainly an observation that in when I find myself driving through lower socioeconomic areas, I notice a lot more ads for fast food and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in some of the more affluent suburbs, I notice a lot more stop smoking, stop drinking, better counseling, online psychiatrists and things like, you know, dental, all of those kind of ads. And particularly in bus stops is the big one that I notice the most, I think. But interesting little bit.
Yeah. Bus stops are interesting and what's being advertised there, especially if it's an alcohol thing and it's a positive thing, because like you can't control who's going past that and who's seeing it.
Same with school buses as well. Okay. So I was looking up some of those stats and there was actually an ad on a school bus.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't a school bus, it was a regular bus.
Yeah, cool.
But it happened to be along a school route.
Yeah.
And the ad on the bus was a bus full of beers.
Ooh.
Yeah. And a lot of parents complained. I'm like, look, I went to pick my kid up and they got off a bus that's covered in beers that says that this is a bus full of beers. Like, no, this is a bus full of children. Like school kids, which is insane.
Yeah.
But I think as well, like, I think about the way alcohol is marketed as like an excuse for things.
Okay.
How many times have you seen little memes and stuff that are like, Prosecco made me do it, or you can dance, trust me, vodka, or like those little whatevers. And I'm like, can we not dance and have fun and have a cool story or like celebrate or commiserate or anything without a drink?
Yeah. Like, well, it's also that thing of like you can't have a good time without it.
Yeah.
And the way that alcohol is marketed is seen as this like high life, like literally like is it beer goggles? Is that the phrasing of like everything is perfect because it's influenced by alcohol and you have a drink and you're by the beach drinking this like refreshing drink.
Yeah, like what's that from Where You'd Rather Be?
Yeah.
Coronas.
Yeah.
Like that's a good ad, like because it is where I'd rather be.
Yes.
I would rather be on a beach drinking. Like I don't like beer, but I do. Every time I see that ad, it makes me want alcohol. Yeah. Like,
and it's so picturesque as well. And it's interesting because like a lot of the like tourism ads as well are around alcohol because that's the region that we're in.
Absolutely.
But it's like, at least the ads that I have seen, alcohol is either seen as this bright, colourful, like, you're going to have a good time, or like, you're going to have a good time because it's luscious and lavish.
And you're very classy lady.
Yeah.
So where we live in South Australia is very well known around the world for its beautiful wine regions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I would love to say that I have experienced them, but I think they've experienced me. I've been on some messy wine tours. But that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you see so many hens do's and, you know, school group, not school groups, but, you know, like end of year school things going up to on these wine tours.
Yeah.
Because it's marketed as like a classy activity. Like you're not going out to town to get drunk and, you know, crawl around sticky dance floors. You're going to have
Des
in his minibus. Take you around to all these wineries while you can fall over in your white dress in the vineyards. Like it's great. There was an event recently, actually, where a girl was found unconscious in the vineyards.
Oh, no.
At a drink, at like a, at a wine tour kind of event, something similar. Yeah. And it's like, who's policing that? Like, you don't know how many wineries they've been to. You don't know how many drinks they've already had. Like, I understand, you know, when you should and shouldn't be cutting people off, but some people show alcohol so differently as well. Like, some people can go to 100% fine to 100% not okay.
Yeah.
So quickly.
Yeah.
Have you been on a wine tour?
Yeah, I've been on wine tours.
Do you have fun?
Yes. Well, so I go with my parents.
You are so lame.
Hey, I've gone on like, I think I've gone on a couple wine tours and they've had plans. I think there's been a couple of things like, oh, we got to go to this winery, et cetera, et cetera. But because my parents don't live in South Australia, but they're
I guess it's
drinkers,
more of a,
And it's always a very casual event where it is a few days and you get to see the region as well. Like it's a tourist
thing. Like a trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I love about Adelaide is that we have so many things and the 30-minute city.
Yeah.
For those who don't get the reference, I have a radio show called 30-minute city. but it's a thing of you drive 30 minutes and you're in a completely different region. And that's what that tourist side plays into that because 30 minutes you're in the hills, you have some of the best wineries in the world.
Yeah. 30 minutes later, you're on the most picturesque beach in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or 30 minutes later and you're at a warehouse out like down near the ports that has some of the best beers in the world.
Yeah. Just I mean, and I love Adelaide for that, but it can be difficult when so many of our activities and things that our state celebrates are based around alcohol and things that I can't enjoy anymore. Yeah,
especially coming into summer again.
Oh my God. So with the weather heating up, my cravings for cider have been ridiculous. Just ridiculous. Yeah. And I feel like I've got a lot of rage that I need to start dealing with.
Okay.
Like, because I've found myself getting angry at people that are drinking.
Yeah.
Like when I'm walking down the street and I'm passing all these pubs and all these people are having fun, I'm like, oh, you fucking dickhead. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm really nasty about it and I'm like judging them a lot in my head and I'm typecasting people and I'm like, classic, you would. And it's like, it's just because I'm frustrated because I can't be there and I can't join in.
Mm.
So I understand I'm like a child taking it out on them, but like, that's how I feel. Like I feel left out. Like I feel like everyone gets to play with these toys except me.
Okay.
It's not fair.
Tash.
I know. Yeah. That's how it feels. I feel sulky about it, you know? And I know there's like a few other people that I've been following that sort of don't drink, and their whole thing is like they're all spiritual and they've like got this, they've got something else.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So I feel like I haven't quite replaced that yet.
Yeah. My joke suggestion is that you can take comfort in the fact that you are no longer prey to capitalism, like playing off your heavy drinking.
Yeah.
Because of what, like 30% of the alcohol market is the heavy drinkers. I will fact check that stat. Don't take my word for it. But they like bank on heavy drinkers buying more alcohol because that's where most of their income is coming
from.
And you were no longer part of that.
No.
Hey.
Hey. Yay. It's the worst. And like, so there was some alcohol left in my studio accidentally after a party recently.
Yeah.
It was such a bad time. Because I knew it was there.
Yeah.
And like, so even before they left, I spotted it and I saw it in the corner and I thought, someone's going to leave that. You should pick it up and give it to them.
Yeah.
But then that naughty part of my brain's like, they won't notice it. Just leave it. Just leave it. Don't notice it. Don't bring it up. You can drink it when they're gone. No one will know. Like, you don't have to tell anyone. You're in the studio alone. Like, you didn't have to buy it. It's not your fault. Like, you know, practically handed it to you. And I'm like rationalizing it in my head. And then, you know, they left and I didn't bring it up and the wine was still there. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And it was like, I was having that real, I guess like addict moment.
Yeah.
Where like the thing I wanted was there and yeah, it was like proper shakes type thing where I was like, I need to give this to someone else. Like this actually has to be out of the venue. It's not enough to just be like, I won't drink that.
Yeah.
Like, which is shitty. And it's like, it's situations like that, that after that happens, I'm like, God damn it. Like you really do have a fucking problem. Yeah. Like, I guess I keep trying to convince myself that it's not that bad or like, cause I feel so much better. Yeah. And I guess the further away from the dark place that you were, you know, things seem like they're all sunshine and lollipops now. And I guess there's like some stark reminders every now and then that still shit.
Yeah.
Still got to work through it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm probably sounding a lot more jovial in this episode though than I have in the last few.
Oh, definitely.
I think I've like been a bit grim.
Yeah.
But also.
We both sound more jovial.
Yeah.
Maybe this should have been the positive episode.
Yeah. In coming into Christmas though, I mean, I guess the marketing around Christmas, totally like.
No. Oh my God. I saw a bus today. I put this on Instagram. It was a bus saying Merry Christmas. It's October.
It's not even Halloween. November yet. Like, we haven't had Halloween yet.
Like, stop.
It is crazy. I remember, for instance, last Christmas.
Yeah.
And I wasn't drinking.
Sorry. Obviously. My brain was like, I gave you my heart. I'm so sorry.
Last Christmas, my mum was disguising doing shots of gin in the morning as alcohol tastings because somebody had bought her a gin for Christmas.
Okay.
So she was sort of pouring these big shots and going, ooh, taste my gin. And people were, you know, having sips of her gin. Oh, yeah, very nice. And then she was like shooting it, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember just watching her and being like, wow, like that used to be me.
Yeah.
Like I would not have bat an eyelid at that behavior. Like,
yeah.
And I can see what she's doing. Like she's trying to cover what she's doing by, you know, and I remember doing that as well and being like, oh, one for you, one for me, one for you, one for me, five for me, one for you. Like,
yeah.
And so that was a bit confronting, I guess. And there are a lot of people in my life who have behavior like that. And luckily I've cut out most of them.
Yeah.
I guess parents are a little bit harder.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's Christmas. And in my household, at least, I grew up with like, this is the time for the adults to like be free and,
yeah,
you know, like let loose. Yeah, like let their hair down. And
yeah,
they got a bit of a holiday from their shitty 9-to-5s. And I get it. It is about like drink and be merry.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a Christmas slogan.
Yeah.
Eggnog, because that's alcoholic, right?
Yeah, it is.
Prosecco, obviously.
Yeah.
Cava in the UK is such a thing.
Okay.
And they have, it's not marketed so much over here, but in the UK they really push these. They're called like Prosecco Pops or something.
Okay.
And they're basically these like little balls of like glitter. It's like shimmer for your drink.
Yeah.
Again, talking about marketing at women. So it's like, yeah, these really glamorous or like Prosecco pearls or something. And you like drop them in and they dissolve and then you give them a little swill and your whole drink is this beautiful starry sky.
Wait, so it's like a bath bomb but for alcohol?
Yeah, but yeah, basically that. Basically okay. that. Yes, it is a bath bomb for alcohol. And it makes your drink all shimmery and cute. Like it doesn't add any flavor. It doesn't add anything except for aesthetic. Like
what?
So like I've got a question actually. I was talking about this today at lunch. In Australia, we have a plain packaging on tobacco.
Oh yeah.
Is that Australia wide?
That you can't put plain packaging. Yeah.
No, like is it just Adelaide or?
Wait, Adelaide, you have to have the smoking materials. No, you have to have.
Yeah, but it has to be those green boxes.
I think so.
Ryan?
Yeah.
Do you know the plain packaging?
I think there's like a law that there has to be that, like all those pictures of like gnarly side effects.
The warnings.
Yeah, but is that just South Australia or Australia wide?
I think that's Australia wide, but. Okay. Don't quote me on that.
Sorry, Caitlin's checking now.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah.
You've just started following this podcast on Instagram?
Y'all didn't like, no, yeah.
Wow.
Soz, I've been really lazy.
It's all right. We forgive you.
No, it's okay. I'm just saying it because I can see the notification.
Yeah. I'm doing some cheeky little Insta stories.
Tobacco and packaging, and this is from health.gov.au, so the Department of Health.
Yeah.
Tobacco products must be packaged in a certain colour and not display branding to reduce their appeal. And then it goes on and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, plain packaging. So they all must be packed in a certain colour, display brand names in certain ways, not display logos, images or promotional text, like brand images. And there's requirements as set out in the Competition and Consumer (Tobacco) information stated in 2011 for text and graphic health warnings, which is why if you come to Australia and you buy cigarettes, there's like quite surreal and harsh packaging around like smoking causes cancer and this is what it looks like. Like smoking when pregnant will destroy your baby, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Destroy your baby. So full on.
Well, it's the same. And this is just because it's the insight I have. I'm pretty sure they have similar laws in Papua New Guinea where it's all in pidgin or tokpisin, where it's basically the same. Like some of them has the kind of like graphic imaging, but it's definitely the like smoking causes cancer, whatever, whatever.
I guess like my point is in South Australia or in Australia, we have this plain packaging cigarettes and science. Statistics have proven that the number of people smoking has decreased, especially in young people.
Yeah.
Because obviously aesthetic is so important to young people and how cool you look. So all these khaki green cigarette packages with cancerous lungs and surgeries happening and really graphic images are definitely working.
Yeah.
And my question is, if alcohol was marketed the same way, all in clear bottles, right, or all in black bottles so that you can't tell what colour the liquid is and all with just white text, no mark, you know, nothing allowed, if we couldn't promote alcohol the same way we can't promote cigarettes, like it's far more dangerous. It affects millions and millions of people around the world.
Yeah.
But it's just like this accepted thing. And it's like, oh, well, if you're not an alcoholic, then it's not an issue.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but so many people are not alcoholics, but drink alcoholically. Like, and that's a difference. And that's just as unhealthy. Like, that is still just as risky.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not trying to be like a nanny and be like, we shouldn't have any fun. And I think, you know, when you're in bars and things, I think that's different, you know. Yeah. You can get a nice cocktail and buy a beer or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it would be interesting. I just guess it's an interesting theory. What would happen?
No fair.
Like, what would you do? If you, let's say you were going to go, let's say you go to a bottle now. What do you buy?
I either go for something that I know or.
Like what?
Like, oh, I honestly don't know. This is the thing.
Like cider, beer, wine.
I'd go beer, sometimes wine, but usually beer, and I'd go for the craft stuff.
Okay. Why?
Because I enjoy the taste, I know who I'm supporting. And
okay, so it's about where it comes from?
Looks better.
Okay. That does play a part of it.
Yeah. Well, like there was a while there where I would buy a bottle of wine if I knew it was a blend that I liked and I liked the look of the label.
Yeah.
And now it's more like, where is it from? Who am I supporting? Et cetera, et cetera. Like what brands am I familiar with?
South Australian.
Yeah. And like, what do I want to try and all this kind of stuff. But a lot of it for a while was the aesthetics. And yeah, also knowing who I'm supporting.
Yeah.
But that being said, I don't buy a lot of alcohol because it's either given to me or I am like at a place that sells alcohol.
Communal. Oh, right. Like a bar or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Ryan? What do you go for when you're in a bottle-o?
Generally, it's usually like a six-pack of beer with my girlfriend.
Would that be like for a party or?
No, that's just like our downtime, like on the weekend sort of thing.
And you share that?
Yeah. So it's like three beers between the two of us.
See, that's...
Or, you know, three beers each, I should say.
Seems impossible for me. Like, what the fuck is three beers?
What does it look like, the beer that you're buying?
Well, I'm sort of the same. Like, I like crafty IPAs.
Yeah.
And that's just like, I think until like I tasted an IPA, I didn't really know what beer I liked or why I liked beer. You know, like, because you go through high school and everyone's like buying beers and stuff.
Mm.
It's like, I don't really like the taste of this. And then like one day I just, you know, had an IPA and it was just that particular flavor. And I'm like, where are there more of these beers? And someone's like, it's an IPA. And I'm like, oh, this is like the one that I really love.
Yeah.
And stuff.
So yours is definitely down to taste then.
Down to taste. And like, you know, it's sort of, I mean, it's usually going to be beers.
Mm.
Sometimes we might get a bottle of wine. It sometimes depends on like what we're going to eat for dinner that night as well.
That's
like,
so classy.
You know, if it's like red meat or something or like, you know, a pasta or something, it's probably going to be red wine. Also, like if we've had like a particularly like busy week and we need to get up early the next day, it's probably going to be a heavy Shiraz. Yes. Just something that will just put us to sleep because I'm such a sleepyhead when I drink red wine.
That is so insane, the amount of thought that goes into that. Like,
there's an art form to it. There's like so much thought that goes into the packaging and the bottling and what you're making and the grapes and where it's being sourced and how it's being malted and what's it being contained in and all this kind of stuff. There's this new cafe that's opened up, or cafe, like a little coffee store that's opened up around Hindley Street. And they had an article about them and they were talking about how their coffee prices are a little bit more and we should expect that because we should be drinking coffee the same way we drink alcohol because we know where it's coming from. It's for the arts, how it's produced, et cetera, et cetera. It's a luxury thing.
Mm.
It's not a, I need to drink because I need to drink type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I used to go to Bottle-O's, I was only ever looking for the heaviest alcohol content for the cheapest price in the least volume.
Okay.
So
what would get you...
What would get me the drunkest, the quickest, for the least amount of money.
Yeah.
And that is always how I bought my alcohol.
See, that was me when I was like 18.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm really tight with my money and that's why I've got savings. It's because I save everything. Like I don't give myself luxuries ever on anything.
Okay.
I need to. I understand that there are some things that I should. And Annie definitely encourages me to buy things for myself and to spoil myself because otherwise I really do just spend it all on my business and on other people and creating things. But, yeah, it would be wine. I've always drunk wine because that's how my parents met.
Okay.
They were both wine merchants. My dad was he's retired now, but he was a marketing strategist for wineries as well as a graphic designer. So he actually designed a lot of wine labels.
Yeah.
So growing up, I was always asked my opinion on the taste of the wine because children have got such different palates to adults. So I could taste things that my dad couldn't. So I, grew up tasting alcohol and having, I guess, an appreciation for it. But then as soon as I was like 14, 15 and started drinking on my own, that appreciation completely disappeared. And I just wanted to get drunk. And I realized that it didn't matter. Like it didn't matter what it tasted like. I just wanted to be drunk.
Yeah.
So I think I would drink a lot of box wine, obviously, because it's so cheap.
Yeah.
And I think I've talked about, have I talked about Wiener before on here?
Wiener.
So like there was a good three, four, maybe five, I honestly don't know, years where I went through this phase of only drinking this, I called it a cocktail because it had three ingredients. The three ingredients are water, wine, and cider.
I've heard this podcast hasn't.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And it's, so it's called Wiener.
Mm.
And it's, you get a pint glass and it's either 2/3 of white wine, 1/3 of like a dark berry cider. Oh
my God.
I know. And then just like watered down a bit to take out the effervescence of the bubbles.
Yeah.
So that you can slam the entire pint down in like a minute. And when I would drink it too, like, because I was drinking to get drunk and I would sort of, and I'm sure anyone that heavily drinks or binge drinks knows what I'm talking about, where you sort of close your nose off and you like kind of close off those airways and like open up your throat and just like glug, 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 like, skull, that's the word I'm looking for. Idiot. Yeah, and just like really slamming them down and like I didn't want to taste it, I didn't care. And then it was back to 2/3 red wine, 1/3 white cider, like, you know, an apple cider. Like,
yeah, okay.
That is lethal. Like, you can't top up wine with cider or vice versa. Like, it's, and there's like videos and pictures of me at one of our, you know, very well-known pubs down the East End. And I'm out the front with a pouch of wine that I'd just bought from the supermarket. And I'm just tipping it into my cider.
Oh, my gosh.
In broad daylight. In the middle of the street, and I remember that was my third one of the day, you know? Yeah. And it's like, why? I mean, I know why, but like, why am I like this? Because you're an alcoholic and you don't have any self-restraint and you need to do everything in excess, that's why. But yeah, and then after I kind of moved out of the box wine and I was like, I can't be buying, you know, when I started to realize that I really have a problem and it's not safe for me to keep buying 4 liters of wine at a time. So then I started just buying 2 bottles of wine at a time, which felt like a real improvement. I don't know.
I mean, you've halved your intake.
Yeah. But like, obviously I was just making double the trips to the bottle. Yeah. Like. And I would always, you know, look at the wine labels and spin them around and be like, okay, that's 13%. That's 13.5. Okay, but that's only 200 mils. All right, so this one, because this is 13.5% and I can smash that. And it didn't matter what it was at all, which is just disgusting.
Mm.
And also like my friends, we would go out to drink or if we had like a get together or something and they'd be like, oh, I bought this from this nice winery or I bought this or I bought this. And I'd be like, I bought this. It was $4. Like, you know. And I guess I was always so, just so not classy about it.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Do you find that when you were drinking, if you weren't focused on the labeling or what type of wine it was the way that alcohol was being marketed, did it ever affect you and your, like, choices?
I don't think so. Okay. It affected the way I judged other people.
Yeah.
For sure. But it didn't affect me. I guess I thought I was smarter than that.
Okay.
And I guess because I'd grown up around in a family whose job it is to market alcohol. Yep. So like I knew what they were doing. Do you know what I mean? Like I got it and I was like, oh, I can see that's a good campaign.
Yeah.
And then I would just ignore it. And I was looking at it from a graphic design point of view or from a marketing point of view. I wasn't looking at it as a consumer.
Yeah.
So I guess I never was really affected by it, but it did make me judge others. Like if I saw people my own age drinking what I would consider to be like a teenage pre-mixed drink, I would sort of judge them for not drinking a more sophisticated drink, says the girl sculling box wine and water. Yes. Like, obviously gin got very popular and it's having a moment.
South Australia is the best gin in the world.
Like, is it though? Like, who decides that?
The awards.
Nah, awards. I don't know. I feel like...
And it looks at the process and how it's made and all this kind of stuff.
I heard that no wine can ever claim to be 100% vegan because so many bugs and lizards and stuff fall into it during the making process.
I knew that.
Yeah, so what's that, like, may contain lizard? Like, what are you meant to say? Does it say it on the labels? May contain insect parts?
I don't know. I'll have to look.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. We don't have bottles of wine with us.
No. Actually, there's a few at my house. I won a raffle. There was a bottle of wine in it. That sucked.
Oh, okay.
I was like, I want it so bad.
Oof, I'll take it.
It's free. Like, it's free.
Tash, no.
So obviously, like, the reward center in my brain was like,
yes, you didn't pay for this. Yeah.
Like, it was just going mental. And I was like, give it to Jan, give it to Jan, give it to Jan.
Yeah.
Jan is my housemate.
Continuing on that, are you seeing the same sort of things when you're looking at alcohol ads now?
No, I'm enraged now.
Okay.
So now when I see alcohol advertising, I get really angry. But weirdly enough, and I guess this says more about me as a person, I am not actually angry at like the companies. I'm more angry at the people consuming for not being smarter than that.
Okay.
And I'm real, like, as I'm, you know, I realize what I'm saying.
Yes.
But that's just the honest truth. Like, I do think, ugh, how can you be so, like, stupid as to...
Ignorant,
yeah. How can you believe that? Or how could you fall for that? Or look at you drinking your pink Zindelfel wine that costs you whatever because it's got a cute pair of lips on the front, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I guess that falls into kind of my whole hatred of like influencer culture as well, because it seems to be that those influencers are the people like buying into those like fads and advertising, and then they're promoting it and they're advertising it. And it's like, ooh, this hot girl in a cool outfit, this hashtag boss babe is drinking this hashtag local wine, so I'm going to get involved. Like, but it's nothing to do with anything. It's just about kissing ass and like promoting brands and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
What do your friends drink?
I depends on the group. So same sort of thing. We tend to support local. I have a couple of friends who work for wineries.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, and are part of the winemaking process as well. And I have people, like friends who work at bars and all those kind of stuff, or who work for festivals and know the wines through that and everything. Or we go to, like, we drink craft. We're bougie hipster shits, let's be real. Come on. Yeah.
Bougie hipster shits.
Bougie hipster shits, And but, like, this is the benefit of living in a state that has that culture and has that industry.
Because, yeah, you're not necessarily, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a hipster thing. It's like a cultural thing in our state that, like, I would say South Australia is very, very proud. Like, obviously, I haven't lived in any other states, so I can't compare exactly, but it's every single person within my friendship circle cares about buying local, shopping local, where it's made. They're very passionate about South Australian and supporting SA, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Which is maybe why we're so proud of all of our products, now alcohol products as well. I find, back to jumping around as we do, I don't like all of the like knickknacks, like alcohol related knickknacks.
Oh, okay.
Because I used to love them, like paraphernalia, you know.
Stubby holders.
Stubby holders, hip flasks, hats. Wine aerators. Yeah, like merch. Like,
oh, you mean like the tacky?
Yeah, like just tacky shit. You know, like I used to have this glass that was it compacted and
what?
Yeah, it was really cool. And I mean, I say it wasn't really cool. It was plastic that just like slotted into itself. But I would just hold, you hold it by the stem and then you flick it and it goes like, and it goes like, and it sort of extends like a lightsaber. You know?
Yeah.
We just gave each other a little like Star Wars. But yeah, so it's this kind of extendable glass and it's shit because it leaked because obviously, because it was dumb. Yeah. And also the gin bangle. You didn't hear about this. It's actually crazy. One of Adelaide's major festivals actually promoted, had a gin bangle as part of its merch.
Wow. But like how do, it's not even effective in like drinking alcohol, is it?
So it's like, it's a, imagine a really big bracelet.
Oh, like chunky.
It's chunky. It's a big chunky silver bracelet with like a big diamante knob. And you unscrew the knob.
Oh, like
You unscrew the knob and it's got like a little mouthpiece and you're meant to like pour it. You're not meant to drink direct. Well, I don't know. I guess you can drink directly from the bracelet.
Yeah.
But I think the idea is that you unscrew it and you subtly pour it into your lemonade or something.
Okay.
I don't know. It seemed weird for me to for a festival to be promoting a product to sneak alcohol into the venue. Yes. But whatever. That's something that is a bit weird to me. Like, I'm like, why are we glamorizing sneaking alcohol around daily? Yeah. The same with the wine bra. Have you seen that?
I have seen that.
And it's, I wanted one, obviously. Like, people would tag me in all of these insane inventions.
Yeah.
And I would be like, thought of that. Yep, done that. Wow. You know, want that. Like, again, I was going to say, it's really cool, but like, there's this cool handbag that you put a box of wine in and then it's got a little nozzle. You can stick the nozzle out the bottom.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Like, my criteria for handbags used to be I wouldn't buy a bag unless it could fit two bottles of wine in it.
Really?
Which is fucked. Like, and I would literally be able to hold up my hands, know exactly how big a wine bottle is, but no, it's not going to fit in there. No, I don't like that one, you know?
Yeah.
Because who needs to be carrying around two bottles of wine at any one time? Like, me, I guess.
Yeah. Wait, so then how many of your decisions when you weren't sober circled around your ability to drink and to carry alcohol
around with you? All of them. My entire life was like, where is my next drink and when am I getting drunk next?
Okay.
So like I would wake up in the morning and if it was an office day, I would immediately start messaging people. What are you doing after work today? What are you up to tonight? Like, do you want to catch up? Like, let's go for a drink. Like, I don't really want to go for a drink. Okay, let's go for dinner. Get to dinner. Okay, let's go for a drink. You know, it would be like, what am I wearing? Do I have any pockets? Like, I have to take a bag with me. Like, I had to take a backpack or like a big carry bag with me to put my wine in. how can I get there so that I don't have to drive? Who can I get to pick me up? Like, even when I would run my market stalls and things, I would always have partners help me load in and come and pick me up and help me load out so that I could sit there and drink all day at my market stall. And, you know, there's so many instances. Obviously, that's the whole point of being an alcoholic, is there's so many instances where you're inappropriately drunk. But, yeah, every decision I made was, like, based around where I could get alcohol. Yeah. But not pubs or bars. That didn't matter. Mm. Like, I would just drink in the streets or whatever I was doing. Like, going to the cinema, there's wine in my water bottle.
Yeah.
Like, riding the bus, there's wine in my thermos.
Okay.
Pondering around Kmart, like, there's wine in this coffee cup, you know? Yeah. And it's like, people used to ask me, what's in that? All the time.
Okay.
What's in that? And I was like, but they were only asking because they knew, you know? And I was like, wine, obviously.
Yeah.
Like at uni in the middle of my presentations. Like, I remember I brought this up recently to someone. I was so drunk at uni once that I had my lecturer confiscate my scalpel.
Wow.
That was full on.
Yeah.
She was like, you can't use this.
Shit.
I was like, what do you mean? She was like, you're drunk. I was like, I'm not drunk.
Yeah.
I'm not. And she was like, I've just seen you give a presentation. Like, you are drunk. I didn't remember the presentation. She was like, you cannot use this knife. Like, dear. Yeah.
Hey, Tash, can I ask you a question?
You can.
So if you're, like, at the height of, like, this excess, right, you're going through your day, like, expecting or, like, trying to plan where the next drink is and who you're going to catch up with and, you know, where it's going to be accessible and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, at the end of it, there's going to be a hangover. Do you ever plan for the hangover? Like, do you ever plan, like, I'm going to eat a big meal or I'm going to, like, go one for one with drinks and water or?
Yeah. I mean, when I first started drinking at, like, 14, 15, I would have these what I thought were really bad hangovers where I'd have a bit of a headache and want to vomit the next day. But then as I got into, like, this really excessive point from probably about 16 to maybe 25, I didn't have any hangovers because I was still drunk probably.
Yeah.
But like it was something that people would comment on, like, you know, for example, we'd go to a wedding and everyone would be absolutely paralytic drunk and I would be horrendously drunk, having drunk double most of almost everyone else. The next morning, everyone else is absolutely hanging, like looks like shit, feels like shit. And I'm like bouncing around like, what's the plan, guys? What are we doing today? Do you want to go for a beach walk? Like, should we have mimosas? Like, does anyone want to kick on? You know, and everyone was like, how do you do this? And I was like, I don't know.
Like, surely there'd be some degree of, like, dehydration.
Well, I looked like shit all the time. And I was, you know, Caitlin just mentioned, so many people have been saying to me over the last, like, 2 months especially, like, people that I haven't seen in a long time are like, you are fucking glowing, Tash. Like, you look so great. Like, you look so happy. And, like, my skin's really clear and I'm not sick anymore. I was telling Caitlin, like, there's all these old videos, Snapchat and Instagram kind of memories, and I'm so nasally and bunged up in all of them, and I've just got a continuous head cold because I'm so run down. And, like, besides the fact that I was drinking an unbelievable amount, I also wasn't – I'm not a really big eater, and we'll talk about that another time, but I wasn't eating either. So I wasn't getting any nutrients or anything, and I was, like, overweight and just – but very, very energetic because I was very, very drunk, I guess. And I wasn't medicated for my anxiety at the time. So I think all of the anxious adrenaline kind of propelled me through my day.
Yeah.
And that whole fake it till you make it mentality just pushed me through my life. And a lot of the opportunities that I was offered, I was only offered because I was drunk and had the balls to ask for them.
Yeah, yeah. It's that double-edged sword again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I was worried about that going sober, but it turns out I'm just as ballsy sober, so that's fine. But yeah, it was the hangovers, definitely, like a big set of years there where I didn't suffer from them at all. And definitely in the last couple of years, it started to get really bad. I would wake up and need to throw up.
Yeah.
Like, I was throwing up, you know, upwards of 50 times a day.
Right.
You know, even at my office job, like, I'd be sitting there and I'd have to get up, excuse myself, come back all sort of sweaty and disgusting, do another half an hour before I go back to make myself sick again. Like,
you know what? I think it is true what they say when they say they get worse as you get older.
Cause
me and Adie had a bottle of white last night, which is a rare occasion, but we were eating fish. And we were like, oh, what goes with fish? White wine. Had that. And I think it's because I've clocked 30 years. This morning I woke up with the biggest headache ever. Robbed me of my morning.
But that's like, that's a water thing, surely.
Yeah, it could be a white wine thing. I feel like they just give me the most splitting headaches every time. But yeah, anyways.
And sometimes it's the sulfur.
Yeah, sulfur.
Yeah, right.
In wines as well. But yeah, and I guess that's what was the end of the drinking, was my body had just
giving up.
It was given up. It had developed an allergy to wine.
Yeah.
When I did my intolerance test, the first thing that came back was wine.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, how can that be true? Like, I've drunk wine every day, you know, for the last however many years. And they were like, yeah, but you can develop intolerances. Yeah. Like, it might not have always been there.
Yeah.
And then definitely, you know, in sobriety. I remember when I'd been sober for maybe like 4 or 5 months and there was wine left over from a party or something at our house. And I said to Annie, like, oh, I'm just going to have a swig of this. Like, I'm just going to have a swig. And she was like, what's the point? Stop it. What are you doing? And tried to stop me. But I don't know. I was on one. And I just, like, had a swig of this white wine. And it, you know, barely even made it into my stomach before I was like, ugh! And it came up and I was sick in the sink again. And I was like, oh, I guess I really am intolerant.
Yeah.
Like,
so your body was
just
legit,
straight up rejected it. Like, it was like, absolutely not. Like, it was crazy. And I was like, that's never happened to me before. Like, normally I can keep anything down, you know?
Yeah.
But I would always just be drinking wine and cider.
Mm.
Like, I never drank gin or, I mean, that would have been logical. Yeah, I think so. Drinking, like, shorter cleaner. Drinks.
Yeah.
But because I was, like, just slamming pints.
Yeah.
All the time.
What about marketing towards males versus females?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, actually, the way that marketing wine at mums is such a thing.
Yes.
Mummy juice.
Wait, isn't there a whole movie about it that came out recently?
Is there?
There is.
What's it called?
Let me look it up.
Wine Mums.
I think it's Wine Mums. And like, no, Amy Poehler is in it, and they legit go on a holiday. I have not seen this film. I've just seen the ads for it. They go on a holiday for like to the wine region.
To get away from their kids?
I think so.
Yeah, classic.
And it's this thing of basically, I think it was like a big old ad for like a Napa Valley or whatever in California. Sure. Wine Country. It's called Wine Country. Yeah, here we go. When longtime friends meet up for a wine-soaked birthday getaway in Napa Valley, their perfectly planned weekend turns messier by the minute.
Yeah.
And it's Amy Poehler, Maya Rudolph, and Anna Gasteyer, and like these big like female comedians.
Yeah.
Like big names. And it's legit like mums drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a thing. And like, I was watching this. There's a show on Netflix called Working Mums.
Okay.
And I just got stuck into it.
Yeah.
One of the mums particularly, it clearly has an alcohol problem.
Mm.
And it's probably not something I would have noticed before, but now I guess I'm too busy diagnosing everybody as an alcoholic. So there's this scene where she's become unemployed, so she's a house mum now, and she has to stay at home and deal with the kids. And, you know, it's this kind of montage of her being stressed and busy, 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 busy.
Yeah.
And then it's her standing in the kitchen sink with a wine bottle in hand, watching the clock, waiting for it to count to midday.
Yeah.
And then it hits midday and she quickly pours herself a glass of wine. And then that's when her husband comes home and springs her and she throws the glass of wine, smashes in the sink.
Okay.
And there's so much to unpack there.
Yeah.
Like, number one, why is it only socially acceptable to drink once it hits 12?
Yep.
Number two, it's clearly not socially acceptable because you've just tried to hide it from your husband.
Yeah.
Number three, why are you hiding it from your husband?
Yeah.
Number four, why do you so desperately need to drink wine during midday to calm yourself from your kids?
Yeah.
Like, none of that is a healthy
like
representation, you know?
Yeah.
But sadly, I think so many mums relate to it. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm not a mother, obviously. I can't empathize what it's like to raise a family. I can't even raise myself without becoming an alcoholic. So, like, I totally empathize. But I do think that there are a lot of excuses made for mums. Mm.
There's a lot of excuses and not enough support.
Yes. Totally, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, it's completely okay for you to have an off the rails weekend because your kids are so, it's not, hey, you look like you're coming undone a bit.
Yeah. How do we help? What are the issues? How can we solve
that?
Oh, we'll just buy you a bottle of wine and you'll be fine.
Like, what can we do so that you don't need to escape every day? Like, because I think that's alcoholism for the most part, for most addicts, is about escape.
Okay.
And not having to feel the things and not having to address the things. And if we apply that to being a mother, it's like, so you don't want to like be there for your children? Are you, obviously that's a huge amount of like mum guilt, and that's absolutely not what I'm doing. Like,
yes,
parents, I'm with you. would never do it, but I'm with you. I think as well of like using baby bottles to hide wine.
Yeah.
Like I know that's a product that exists.
Yeah.
And like nappy bags that have a built-in wine cooler. Yes. Like.
And I think it shows that it's a marketing tactic to prey on insecurities and a lack of support and being like, okay, cool. Who are our biggest demographics? Who will drink this? How can we market towards that?
Yeah.
And it is quite unhealthy because it's propagating the word I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's propagating those things and not actually working to solve them. It's working to profit off them.
And I would imagine that there would be a lot of mothers that, whether they're single mothers or not, but a lot of mothers that would drink alone.
Yes.
Well, with their child, but, you know, alone really in their own sort of thoughts. And that must be really hard and that must be a horribly lonely and difficult place to be.
And then it's interesting because then if you flip that and look at the reverse and look at how alcohol is targeted towards men, it's this thing of you're a man because you deserve this.
It. Like, you've had a long, hard day at work.
Yeah.
Come home and crack a coldie. Yeah. Like,
or like
you legend.
Yes. Or this like woman will like you because you're drinking this. Or Mila Kunis will fuck you because you're drinking this alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't drink this beer. This beer's for like beach, you know, cricket, beach playing peasants, like drink this like craft alcohol, like brewed here with this many, you know.
Look at this toxic masculinity that we can prey off so you can have a drink.
Literally.
Yeah.
Ryan, what do you feel like? Do you feel like alcohol's marketed aggressively at you? Like,
Not really. I think like it's sort of marketed quite aggressively towards sporting culture and like lads, lad culture.
Truly. So I actually found something out today while I was looking at the...
I don't know the name.
A report about advertising in alcohol advertising, sorry.
Yeah.
And while there are laws in Australia that prevent any ads for alcohol being shown on children's TV times, that is vetoed if there's a sporting game on.
Yeah.
So whenever there's sport, they're allowed to advertise alcohol consistently. And, you know, it's on the players' uniforms, it's all around the grounds, it's on the pitch, it's on the banners.
Oh,
like, yeah, because, like, they're all their sponsors, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So,
it's a multi-million dollar industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they'd be bending, I guess, the laws to allow that little window of marketing there.
Yeah. And it's like the same way, you know, certain sporting venues only ever serve one type of beer and one type of wine and that's the sponsor. Like, it's all just shoved in your face.
Yeah. It's interesting because, like, my brain is going straight to the Super Bowl. Like, the amount, and granted, this is definitely an American thing, but you can see how big it is because it's translated to an Australian audience, that the Super Bowl is a time for advertising. You get some of the best ads that come
it's
out.
It's Budweiser Bowl.
Yes.
Like, that is we don't even drink Bud over here. That's how big of a thing it is.
Yeah.
And it's that thing of like if – because it's such a hot spot that if you can get your ads onto that and in that sporting event, and the same would be here in Australia because so many people watch sport, you're good, you're done, whatever.
I did this incredible – when I lived in the UK, I worked for a lot of marketing and events companies, and Budweiser actually during the World Cup, they – made a promise, like they put out an ad that was a promise that if Wales got through to the grand final or if Wales beat England, it was something like that, then quote unquote, everyone in Wales gets a free Bud.
Wow.
Right? So at like 11 o'clock after this match is finished and Wales had won, I get a phone call from my marketing manager who's like, I need you for a Bud shift tomorrow.
Yeah.
Have you got any friends? We need like 60 staff, you know. And I was like, oh, my God, okay. And I was like, FYI, my hair is blue. Okay, please get a fucking wig. So I was like, oh, fuck. So there's me and there's, like, long blonde Barbie wig looking like an absolute troll. And literally there was so many of us and we all met at this warehouse and then they, like, deployed us in cabs, like, all over Wales. And we were just giving out vouchers for people to go and redeem a free Budweiser almost any venue. So any venue that sold Bud, you could take this in and they had to give you one.
Wow.
It was insane. And they had all these coupons coming out in the paper the next day for like a free 4-pack or a free 6-pack from your Tesco. Like, it was crazy. And like people, the way that people were hunting me down to get more vouchers was insane. Like, I've done so many alcohol promos.
How is that legal? Because you're literally giving out.
Because you're not, you're giving out the voucher.
Yeah.
So you're technically not giving out alcohol.
Wow.
Yeah. But then, so like this was a multi-part sort of marketing event. We spent the first half of the day giving out all these vouchers. We spent the evening cracking beers.
Yeah.
So we were each sent to, you know, some of these hotspots.
Yeah.
And we were, like, my job was literally just standing at the door of this venue, redeeming coupons, cracking beers, yeah, like
handing it out
and just handing them out. And, you know, your big cheesy smile, like, have a butt on me, like, sexy wink, you know? Yeah. And it's just like, I sold my soul because I needed 10 pounds, you know, and that's all it is.
Yeah.
But I did so many promotions like that. I did so many alcohol
marketings
where you were literally like pushing it into people's hands and being like, try this, taste this, take this. Like, it's free, it's free, it's free.
Mm.
And alcohol laws in Australia are a lot more stringent. And obviously we can't get away with any of that. And even in bars, so full on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just, especially in South Australia, like you cannot sell alcohol at a supermarket. You can't. Uh-uh. There are laws against it. Yeah. Mm.
But I guess like with teens or like tweens as well, all the alcohols that are marketed to them that are also like low calorie, zero sugar, like, you know, mixed with botanicals and natural ingredients. And it's like alcohol marketing is now feeding off the health movement. Like you can't do that. Like you can't market this poison.
Oh, every 3 years, a glass of wine will help fight off cancer.
Honestly.
No, it won't.
No, it won't.
You have funded that research.
Yes, literally. And it's like, it's memes, you know, people see like clickbait or they see a meme and they take it as fact and then they're spreading that quote unquote fact around, like. But yeah, and it's like, well, you know, we were talking about the way marketing as well capitalizes on like International Women's Day.
Yeah.
And like they'll have these big campaigns all of a sudden and it's like.
We care about your rights.
Yeah, but it's like.
Buy a beer.
Yeah. And it's like, we care about women this one day out of the year when hopefully they'll buy products from us. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all gross. And I think maybe for our listeners, if you guys keep an eye out and be a little bit more vigilant, I think that you'll notice that we are surrounded.
Oh, yeah.
Surrounded by advertising every day.
Oh, yeah.
For alcohol. And it's so normalized. And like, I definitely didn't notice it anywhere near as much as I do now.
Okay.
Because now, obviously, like, it works on me. Like, I see the advertising. I was like, well, obviously, I want to try that. Like, obviously, I want that now.
Yeah.
And then I get angry about it.
Yeah. I think it's also a thing of as marketing and advertising develops and progresses more, they're getting smarter and trickier about the way that they're advertising. Like, you can be sitting there watching a picturesque ad and being like, what are they? Oh, this is about alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more subtle. It's definitely becoming a lot more, like, glamorous.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember, and I guess this is a testament to the ad because it was so good, but that ad with the tongue to the Satisfaction song, and it was like, and it was this tongue, and the tongue, like, comes out of the esky and, like, or, like, it comes out of someone's mouth.
Yeah.
Goes to a party, into an esky, gets the beer. I mean, I can't remember what beer it is.
I do remember that. Yeah.
I think it was Hahn Premium Light.
Oh, I think it is.
Yes.
Oh, Heineken?
Gross.
Heineken, maybe?
Maybe it was Heineken. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, there's also one that plays on that idea of, like, a courage where you're talking to a friend about approaching a girl and it turns out the friend that you're talking to is actually the bottle of beer that you're holding.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's gross.
Mm-hmm. That is gross. Mm-hmm.
And they play it at cinemas.
Oh, no.
Yeah, which is where I see all my ads now. Like, it's what's playing before the film.
Annie and I made a note that when we were in Cardiff, we went and saw a film.
Yeah.
And there were 5 ads before the film and every second ad was an alcohol ad, every second one.
It goes like cars,
technology,
alcohol. Cars, insurance or banking, alcohol.
And then a feel-good one.
Yeah.
There's always at least one feel-good, feminist or, like, environmental kind of angle.
Yeah. Some of them are really, like, roundabout. Like, some of them completely, like, catch you off guard, be like, you know, be yourself. The future is now. Drink Coopers.
Yeah.
Like, where did that come from, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. But it's the same way, like, I mean, back to cigarettes for a second, but, like, do you remember, I know you're probably too young, but like pink cigarettes with like gold filters?
I didn't grow up here as well.
Yeah, so you had to buy them online.
Yeah, oh, okay.
And it was very like a very Tumblr thing. Like you sort of would have these like ridiculous cigarettes imported or like buy them overseas or whatever. Like super illegal to be buying them online. Yeah. Who knows what you're really smoking, but it was just so glamorous and cool. And I think it's like sort of the same now. Like it's so uncool and it's so bogan to drink like box wine. you know, it is. Yeah, and like people call me Bogan all the time. People gave me shit all the time, but like, but I did not care.
It's insane. In Europe, though, they for some reason like box wine.
Because
I
it's
think
like,
it's because it's Australian.
Yeah, and it's like a novelty, and they've only got a few companies that do it.
Yeah. Whereas here, we're like, why? Your goon sack. Yeah.
Oh,
clip
God.
It to your.
Like, I remember I would have been 17, and I remember being at a party and arriving and saying, I'm going to drink this whole goon sack tonight. That's my challenge. Yeah. I drank most of it, and then I was very, very ill, obviously.
Like, yeah. Well, you have whole drinking games around it.
Oh, like, my God. I love drinking games.
Yeah, it looks same.
Okay, so my favorite drinking game ever is drinking Monopoly.
Okay. I hate Monopoly, so I don't know where this is going.
Well, this is the thing. I realized that I also hate Monopoly. I just loved drinking. And it was an excuse for me to force everybody else to drink at my pace.
Yeah, okay.
And then it's like there have been so many times where I've had to cut the game short because the other players are throwing up or like
whoa.
Yeah, and I'm just like, damn it. I ruined my own fun. Like, yeah, I know.
Wow, okay.
Because my rules were like, every time you pass go, have a drink. Every time you buy property, have a drink. Every time you go to jail, you have to do a shot of port and then finish your drink.
Oh, my gosh.
If you traded properties, you had to drink.
Yeah.
Like, it was honestly endless. Like, if you rolled a double, you had to drink. So, for instance, this would happen. You'd roll the double, drink. Yeah. Roll another double, drink. Roll another double, drink. But that also gets you in jail.
Okay.
Three doubles. So now you have to do a shot of port and finish your drink.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you'd
That's like six drinks right there.
Yeah. And if you'd finished your drink sculling for your doubles and you'd refilled it, then you still had to down that entire refilled glass, right? And then you're in jail, right? Board comes around. You roll a double, drink, but that gets you out of jail.
Yeah.
But then you roll another double, drink again, and you're like, you move. Then you roll another double, you're like, fuck, back in jail, right? It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's like the amount of alcohol that you consume in the shortest time period. Yeah, wild.
Oh my gosh.
I can't tell you how many people I forced to play that with me.
Yeah,
like on my 20 something.
Yeah.
All my friends, I had a hotel room. We were all going to go out to town. Everybody came over and I was like, let's do Monopoly for prees. They're like, you did not bring Monopoly. I was like, of course I did.
Wow.
We didn't end up going out at all. We all just stayed in the hotel.
Oh my gosh.
Playing drinking Monopoly.
Times.
Oh, I'm sad. I wish I could drink for fun. Like, it looks fun when other people are doing it.
Yeah, but also is a bit of a shit time.
I mean,
Tash.
Yeah, like I get it. Yeah. Like, I know logically it's a shit time.
Yeah.
But it does look fun. See, advertising, this is the fucking point. Like, this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Moral of the story, be careful about what you're watching, be careful about what you're consuming, and be careful about where you are being targeted.
Mm. You are always being targeted.
You are always being advertised to.
Be vigilant.
Yes.
Be smarter than the man.
This has just become an anti-capitalist podcast. Who's surprised? Literally no one. Support us on Patreon.
Yeah. I want to read some names next week.
Yeah, that'd be fun. You can follow us on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow us on a Twitter account that I've completely forgotten to maintain.
Oh, you can totally listen to our playlist.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Caitlin hates it. I love it. I probably listen to it every day.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah, how do you feel when my songs come on?
I skip them.
Wow.
I don't like them. It's like, it's too poppy. Anyway, I've added some gems on there. So Jesus. If you want to listen, you can go on Spotify and find us at Why Do I Like This.
I'm going to create a rogue podcast. rogue playlist, rather.
Well, this podcast is actually made on Annie Siegman's account, so don't look on it.
This playlist is made on.
That playlist, this podcast.
No, this is no.
This podcast is our thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You can email us at justbypod@gmail.com. Tag us in the weird advertising that you see.
Yeah. Send us your weird ads.
Yeah.
Love that.
Mm.
Until then, be safe. Gentle.
Yeah. Actually.
Oh, yeah, my quote
what's
of the
your
week.
Mantra? Yeah, ooh. Quote of the week.
Let me think. Oh, good things come to those who work their asses off.
Okay.
That's all.
Cool. That's it?
Yep.
Nice. But also, I'm going to tack on a little bit to that. There is a point where you are hustling too much. Take a break. Be gentle to yourself. Take a bath.
Mm.
Read a book.
Advice that I cannot take.
I know. I finished this 48-hour film challenge and then my brain was like, cool, here are all the other things that I need to be doing right now and haven't done in the last few days. And then my other part of my brain was like, you're going to have a bath. And I got through 160 pages of my book.
Woo! Impressed.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Said in this episode, please contact Lifeline at 13 11 14 or www.lifeline.org.au. Why Am I Like This is a Weekly Good production produced by Caitlin Ellen Moore and hosted by Tash. The audio for this podcast was recorded and edited by Ryan Martin John. The Why Am I Like This jingle was created by Annie Siegman and Ryan Martin John. Why Am I Like This was recorded and produced on Kaurna lands, and we pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Thanks for listening.